we're going to have to do without Nancy today, although I'm sure she's with us in spirit. She's at a family event, which happens to her frequently because she's blessed with a wonderful, large, extended family, and they all love her. And who can blame them? We love her too. She adds so much to our call and our conversation, and she'll be back next week. So we're going to do it ourselves. How's that? And I know that everybody's going to have some wonderful questions to ask or blessings to ask. And we give ourselves basically about an hour to get through our question and answer. Then we move into the actual blessing. So that gives you a little bit of guide point on where to go, how to interact and respond in order to move yourself into the queue for asking for a blessing or anything else that's on your mind. Some of you call just wanting to give gratitude and thanks for blessings already received. And that's a wonderful thing to do because it creates collective consciousness, collective confidence, combined faith of all of us who are here to be inside the light of Christ and receive his bountiful blessings. So there are a lot of things you could share with us. We try to keep our responses, I wouldn't say brief because I don't want to cut you off from saying everything you need to say, but we're not going to move into a full-scale lecture in this because we have too many people in the call who also want to ask their question or make their comment on questions that have been asked. So here we go. We are in, we are being recorded, and we are in our Q&A. So let's just go for Nancy Dupre.
Hello.
Is our first caller.
Hi, Glenda. How are you doing? Are you feeling better?
No
cough?
I am getting better every day, but it's been such a slow process. Sometimes it gets a little bit discouraging. Nevertheless,
well,
I am better.
I'm asking for blessings for my sister Laura and her husband David. He is having high blood pressure problems, and they're right now trying to find out why. But tomorrow is my right eye cataract is going to be coming out, and we still have keratoconus to contend with, so hopefully I'll get a lens so I can be able to see this next week. And then for Rosie, she lost her stepson, and Kanani, who is my Hawaiian neighbor, she lost her son and her dog, and so it's been a crazy kind of a week. Anyway, I thank you so much for being there, and I appreciate you so much.
Well, we are so happy you're here with us because we each give strength to our community. And even in asking for blessings from Christ and goodwill from our fellow community member, it shows a deep inner strength that we surrender to reality, and yet we want that reality healed. So
right.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing to voice.
And also for anybody who's going through anything that really need help, blessings on them.
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of us do. That's just, you know, when great changes are happening in the earth or the cosmos or a community or family, it creates a greater liability for disturbing issues to arise. Let's just put it that way. Not necessarily a problem. I'll talk a little more about this. I want to talk about energy and how it flows, and what happens when we resist it. I think that's a really big point for us to learn, but we'll move into that. But whenever changes are going at a high velocity, a lot of mud gets stirred up in the water. Okay. You know, you could go into this really, really beautiful, crystal clear mountain stream, and the minute you start walking in it, well, you're stirring up mud on the bottom. And it goes, wow, how did that happen? I thought it was so clear. Well,
I'm a fish.
That's
I'm a fish.
Yeah, and it's, my friend, I want to say, it's still clear. It's just now it's got debris also stirring around in it. And we'll talk about how to let energy flow a little better without stirring up so much debris. Because I know a lot of what disturbs us right now is that very phenomena. It is. Because, you know, the fact is, a little bit of illness is inevitable in the course of a lifetime. Because we pick up infections of various kinds, and then we have to develop resistance to that. And it doesn't indicate any bad thing about you. And I'll give you proof of it right now. The people who are the most plagued with colds and flus are children. Yeah, children.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, unless they're your grandchildren and you've already built up immunity to them and they to you, it's better for people over 50 not to be around kids because they're carrying all kinds of germs. Why? Because they haven't built up their immunity yet. And that's part of growing up, is to build up your immunity. And there are lots of doctors that tell moms, you know, it's good for your kids to play in the dirt because they're going to connect with various types of bacteria that belong to the earth. And they need to build up immunity to that because, hey, this is going to be their home, hopefully, for many decades. And you know, so the fact that you get sick doesn't mean there's something wrong with you as a person. And I want to emphasize that. Really, really do. It just means something got stirred up that you don't have an immunity to yet. And so while you're building that immunity, take care of yourself. Have a very, the healthiest diet you know how to provide. And drink lots of water so your body can clean it out. And then, you know, learn from, medical professionals, but also good-hearted people who just know how to help you build immunity. And there's a lot of those around. Back in my grandparents' day, doctors were about 10% of your health care. And grandma was about 90% of your health care.
Yeah.
Because she was the one who had learned about life, okay? And people in the old days that I remember from my childhood, people rarely got sick in their middle years. Rarely, really. Because they had built up their physical strength. They had built up their immunity. They had an even, easy pattern and commerce with life. You know, they got up with the sun, had their breakfast, went to work, came home, had dinner at 5, rested, went to bed. In other words, they had a good pattern of life that was healthy. And nobody was stirring up the mud around them. And the air was clear. The water was pretty clean. So there wasn't stuff that they were constantly having to overcome. And really,
yes,
according to nature, that is the way it's supposed to be. Children are the ones that have the biggest challenge with immunity. And this is sad to say, but in the old days, and by that I mean about 3 generations ago, the highest level of mortality was with children. And a lot of children didn't make it. And this is one of the reasons people had to have such large families because they wanted at least 5 or 6 children to survive. And out of 12 kids, that may be all that got to adulthood. I'm serious. I mean, I'm not saying this to be negative. This is reality. This is statistical. And then the second highest mortality rate were the elderly. But most people didn't really count that in the mortality rate because in the old days, people just kind of started fading away. The families took care of them, and they were bedridden for a while, and then one morning they just didn't wake up, you know? Mm-hmm. But that's the way nature used to be when nature was not interfered with. Right now, we're having a lot of interference from a lot of sources, and we'll talk about some of those as we go through the call. So there's nothing that Yeshua cannot bless and heal. There's nothing that God our Father cannot bless and heal because he created everything out of goodness. He created everything out of love. And I will just head off fears of evil. Yes, there is evil in the world, but there was no evil at the beginning of creation, not at the beginning of the universe. Read the book of Genesis again. Whether you take it literally or you take it for, let's say, a story that we are to learn from about life. It could be either or, and it's true either way. There was no evil, none. At the end of every day, it was acknowledged as being good. Read that. After every day, it was good. Okay? Now, we come to the creation of humanity, human beings, and we were created in the image of God. You don't get any gooder than that. I mean, to slur the English language a little bit, it doesn't get any better than that. And then at the end of the sixth day, and God said it was good. So from start to finish in his creation, we were good. We were just plain good, okay? And that meant in health as well. And this is why you hear so many historical references to people living to ancient years, and not just in our Bible. You find it in so many of the other ancient scripts and stories of, in other religions, people living to be 800, 900 years old. Well, at that point in time, we hadn't built up a lot of collective mistakes, or what you might say collective ignorance. Most of the time, our mischief starts from ignorance. It really does. And then conflict builds on that, and then people act in frustration to conflict, and then you've got a climate of what we call evil. It's not rooted in evil, but it is evil actions. You know, when people go to a school, high school, and kill kids, that's evil. Let's say that deserves the label. That's evil. But it wasn't rooted in evil originally. It didn't come from evil originally. Therefore, God can correct anything. God can prevent anything. And our faith provides the connection that allows all of that to be faced and healed. So, thank you, Nancy. Oh, I really got carried. You inspired me. And by the grace of God, I got carried away.
That's okay. But I do remember one of the things when I was growing up, we'll be out in the desert and Mom would go, "Oh, that dirt is just seasoning. Don't worry about it."
That's right. That's right. So I wanted to dissociate illness from something being wrong with us. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with any of you, all of you. There's nothing wrong with you. You're just
it's
working
cataracts.
To build a
I'm just going there. I'm just that
you're working to build
from having contacts and then not having contacts, and you know, for 55 years I've had contacts. So now, get
well,
used to that.
Oh yeah. Hey, I had all of my cataracts removed, and I'm seeing perfectly.
It's wonderful. And if
really?
God can get that little extra push,
oh, yeah.
Don't remember the character
you know,
told
actually,
us, we got it made.
That's right. You got it, Nancy. And actually, there are many specialties of medical science that are really wonderful in what they have created and paved out for better living for the rest of us. You know, we hear, you know, a lot of opinions and negative opinions about certain influences within the medical community that I don't think are good. But I don't think they stem,
I hear a person that just wants to argue and just wants to debate and bring out things that it doesn't matter if they're not true. You know, they're not true.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's trying to make a foundation on lies or, playing mind games. But, you know, it's like that's fine for you. As I was in the book, it was like saying, in your book, it was like saying, that is your alternate reality. My reality is based on love, and if it comes out with kindness or with love and makes you feel joyful, I'll follow that.
Amen. Amen, my dear. Well, I was starting to give an example, so let me finish the example I was going to give. And then we'll go on to our next caller, okay? A blessing to you and your family, Nancy. I was going to give, and I think it's a good one because it's a good example of how things that have evil consequences, or at least it seems bad consequences, let's just put it that way, can get started because of the complexities of the world. I have always stayed very, very close to what I would call small-town doctors who were really good, and they were into doctoring, meaning they dealt with their patient directly, and whatever tests they ordered were usually necessary tests, not something that created safety for them. A lot of times the tests we have to undergo are for the doctor's benefit, not for ours at all. And I know you've all experienced this, but the good doctoring, small-town doctors, I just love. Then I moved to this very urban area looking for a new position, and almost all of them are incorporated large firms where maybe you get to see the doctor once a year. In the meantime, you get to see his nurse, and she will interview you and create some basic opinions about what you need, and then send you off to specialists. And specialists will then determine what to do with you. And you never see a doctor who really actually is treating you and doctoring you. Okay. And because of that, we can get from way off center to where we're not getting what we need. Mainly, we're not getting attention and love and care and deep felt concern. So I wanted it, and then we get frustrated, okay? And after we get frustrated, well, we can say nasty things. And I think it's important always for us to look at the real reality of what's happening. And right now, I'm looking for a new doctor, and I'm looking kind of in the outskirts of town where doctors actually have their own private and personal practice. That's why I just want a relationship with a doctor, because I know most of them get into medicine because they want to help. They love people, and they want to make a difference. And so let's keep up the best attitude we can while we're dealing with some difficult, complicated situations of the world. Okay. Many times on this call, I get back to of the world, and I will make references again to the book of Genesis. In all of creation, God did not create the world. We created the world, and we're really not up to a job that complicated because, you know, we're in marvelous shape. We can just take care of ourselves and our family, and if we can do that, I think we could change the world. But we're going to go on to our next caller, and that would be, let's see, who do we have for our next caller? Well, huh. Question. Okay, that is Joan. Hello, Joan.
Hi, can you hear me?
Perfectly.
Fantastic. Okay, I have a spiritual problem, and it's very serious. So I don't know where to begin, but maybe I should start with the portal that opened up in my warehouse.
In your room, your bedroom?
No, in the warehouse, in my warehouse.
We have a business. Okay.
We have a home. We have a warehouse. It's quite large, and then we have a home that we built next to it. It started with this portal, and it was white, and I was just in shock. It was in the middle of the warehouse, and it went around me, and in my face. There was no bodies, no people. It was just this motion of, like waves, and it was huge. It went up to the ceiling. It was letting me know I'm here, or something is here. Mm-hmm. And interesting enough is that my son's father died, and we got a call about that about a week prior. Mm-hmm. And he was very evil. And when I say evil, I mean evil. He tried to kill me. I rolled out of a car at 30 miles an hour, and some people picked me up. I was in California. That's where I'm from, but I'm Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So when after that happened, these spirits were everywhere in every room, and they were little animal spirits. They were kittens, and they were, I love animals, right? So here we go. So all these little animals were around me and next to me. And then it graduated to demonic.
Mm-hmm.
So say I walk in a room and the lights are off. How you turn off the lights when you leave a room and you walk in and and it's dark. They come at me, and for some reason I'm not scared of them. I just say the same thing. I do not consent. Leave this property.
Good.
I want you to know that they wink at me. They have they have eyes that they float. Okay, so the demonic spirits everyone's floating. Everything floats. And it floats and then dissipates, and then here comes more. And it's nonstop. Nonstop, and so the other day I noticed there was a line of flies on my car. A line of flies. I have a Chevy Tahoe. It's white. Couldn't miss it. Black flies. A line. Like all in a row. I've never seen anything like it. All the way from the light in the front all the way to the tail light on the side of the door, but in a straight line. Straight line. And one hopped a ride in the car and went down to our new facility. And it wouldn't leave the car. I couldn't get it out. You know, you put on your air conditioner and you wave your hands around and then it dives underneath the seat. And so this fly went down to our new facility and I started experiencing the same problems there. It doesn't seem... And something happened really weird today, or it happened once before, is when I close my eyes, I can see them in my head. I can see them in my brain. They're floating around. And I'm going, and I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted with this because they left for a day, I think, or I didn't see them for a day or two, and then they come back in force. So I need help. I don't know what to do. I have a lot of Christian ministers I know, but I've never heard of this. You probably have, but I have never met anyone who has experienced this, or maybe they just don't want to admit it.
Well, no, you're not the only one. everyone is unique in the way you perceive it. You know, for someone else, it might not be flies. It might be ladybugs. Or some other configuration, waves of grass in the backyard that should not be in that configuration. You know, the outward phenomena can vary in infinite ways, but the coming of negative persuasion, let's just say negative persuasion, has been around since the beginning of time. But it can't get to you unless there's something in you that needs to be repelled, needs to be eliminated, because you're providing the connection. And this is what Yeshua would do when he would cast out demons. He didn't care about all the demons in the environment, because they're around everywhere anyway. But getting the connection inside you. So it probably is something that your husband left behind inside you. And I would suggest that you visit a minister who has the skill of casting out demons. That would be one way to go. We will give you a blessing. I can give you blessings every day for a while to help you have the strength to cast out. It's probably just one. When we are intimately connected to someone, we have a soul fusion with them, and they leave traces within us that we have to eventually let go of. Now, if a person's had a very happy marriage, you don't want to let go of those connections, because those connections give you a sense of life continuum with your loved one. But if it was a very negative relationship,
it was horrible. It was meeting somebody, you know, and falling crazy in love. First year was nice, and then he flipped. And then I tried to help him, and he was an abuser, lots of drugs too. He got into, but he was always very sophisticated about it, you know. He wasn't somebody walking the street. He had ran a restaurant, I guess. And I, John, my son, was not allowed to be raised. So we left. Yeah. And he hates me. The hatred he has for me because I took away his son. That's how he looks at it. And then his mother, I understand, was into, it was a rumor, never saw it, but into witchcraft. And when this man, back to when he was beating me up, and it was always my head, he hit my head over and over with his fist. His eyes went black. Black. So, I received on a newspaper, it was going back many years, a newspaper in the mailbox at my father's home, and it said, if you don't leave Carl, he will kill you. And I thought, who wrote that? Carl wrote that. He wrote it himself.
I see.
You see that? You see that logic?
Oh, yeah. Well,
my question is, I can go to a minister. One of the best ministers just passed away, him and his wife. They did, they dealt with MK Ultra, you know, personalities of eight personalities and split personalities and demonic. Les Dizdar. He was a beautiful man, and he had a huge ministry, Come Out of the Darkness, it's called. But he passed away. And then when he passed away, his wife was in the hospital, and they told her he had passed away, and she passed away right like that. So I don't know anybody. Do you know anybody who is the real deal?
Yes, I do. His name is Yeshua.
Okay, let's go to him.
Do it.
Well, then,
you go to him in prayer. You need to develop a strong connection with him, and he is greater than any connection that could hurt you. He can cast it out and has many times with many people. And you can't use counter witchcraft on something this heavy. You have to simply surrender to the will of God, which is not for you to be connected to this man. That is not the will of God, okay? It is not the will of life or the will of love. And you need to reconnect with your Creator. You need to reconnect with Yeshua, and he can do this work for you. Now, I would suggest that you read Love Without End, the book that he transcribed through me. It's got great information in there for you. And the other is would be Christ Scent. It's an essential oil that it took me 10 years to create, but I created it for very similar reasons to this. People need to have a stronger connection with him. Whenever he would appear to me, this was the aroma I would experience, inhale, and I wanted to recreate it for other people. I have actually experienced people calling me back, and an exorcism actually occurred because evil forces that were plaguing them just went away. I'll give you one example. A long-term, a good friend of mine and her husband were in the funeral business. And I don't think that has anything to do with what happened to them, but maybe it did. It's hard to say. But they had a beautiful home up on a hill. The elevation, 360 degrees, was up on a hill. And out of the blue, all of a sudden, that house started flooding. Flooding, and they were up on a hill. I mean, it would flood into the house. And she knew that this was an abnormal event. And she could feel the negativity that went with it. And so I gave her some questions. And I said, put this on every wall in every room and call me in 2 days. She called me. She said, the water's gone. And everything's dried out.
Wow.
And then she got, back in those days, we did not have clay, Candace. We just had prints. She got a print of Yeshua, had it framed, and put it on her bedroom wall. And she said, no evil spirit can get in my bedroom.
Yeah, I have your art in the kitchen of the house.
Okay. You might want to put it in your bedroom.
Yeah, but they're in that room, too. And our ceilings are like 20 feet tall. They're very tall. And we did a modern home. And you know how you go to a restaurant and it's that black foam up in the ceiling?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When these things drop out of the black ceiling and they're black, it's pretty, it's almost like, hey, it's entertainment time. Let's go watch the spirits. It's, you know, it's bedtime. So I sit there and I look at them and my husband's next to me, you know, sleeping. I'm not going to scream out anything. I don't want to do that to him. He can't see them. And it was like, I got to tell you something, honey. What's going on? And he goes, I don't see them. I don't see anything. And I don't know why he can't see them, because I can see them clearly. I took a picture of one that, you know, I kind of fooled a spirit, and it went up into the ceiling, and I didn't know if my phone would capture it, but it did. It captured its face, and it had grueling teeth, yeah, and big eyes, but it had flattened itself, and I caught it on film. I said, look at this. Do you see this? Not really. It kind of looks like. He goes, and then I see things in trees, and I see things like, what is that? That looks like an animal. And I go over there, and it's a log with two leaves on it. You know, and this goes on a lot, seeing animals
Right.
In trees well, that aren't there. They're not there.
I can't go on any longer on this call. This call is really not appropriate for deep counseling. So we can talk under another occasion, but really, I want to close by telling you that something is in you that's seeing these things, because most people would also not see them. It doesn't mean they're not there. Actually, there's all kinds of potential floating around us all the time, but if we don't give power to it, we don't see it. So something in you is giving power to that. And that's what needs to be addressed and removed. What is in you that's seeing and giving power to it? And I'm not saying that it's you. It could be something implanted in your being that was, and it needs to be removed. It's like if you have cataracts, you can't see through the film. All right, well, you've been given some other kind of film, and you're looking at it through the film. But let's take the fear out, because you're not going to get over anything in the spirit of fear. And there's really, actually, nothing to be afraid of. These entities are not going to kill you. These entities cannot make you sick unless you give them permission. And you've got to take control of yourself to not give power to these things. They're there, but they can't do anything to humans, which is why we don't normally see them, because they don't matter. And they're around everybody, but they don't matter. We don't give them power, therefore we don't see them. But something got triggered in you, that a button was switched, and now you're seeing them, and they're scaring you. And
I'm not scared of them. In fact, that's why I can stand up to them, and they come up right to me. And they're massive, and they've gone black now. They went from kittens and little animals to now these, you know, it is what it is, right? And I just tell them to get out of the house, and I command them in Yeshua's name. I've rebuked them in Yeshua's name. None of it's worked yet. So I wanted to ask you a real quick question before I get off. Should this man be prayed for?
Yes, but possibly not by you, because you haven't forgiven him. And until you forgive him, your prayers will just get stuck inside your own soul. So there's a number of stories about Yeshua where they came to get blessings or to give blessings, and he would say, no, you first have to go forgive, you know, your brother-in-law, your cousin, or whatever, different persons. You haven't forgiven him yet, so your prayers won't work. But, yes, he should be prayed for. Most definitely he should be prayed for. And somewhere, someone in the universe needs to love the man, because there's love deep at the core of his soul that's been corrupted, shall we say. And but like I tell people all the time, you cannot pray from the problem. Let's just say a person has a persistent illness, and you pray, oh, Lord, I can't stand this anymore. I can't live with this. Please take this illness away. That's actually not good prayer, and it won't work. It won't work. The only thing that will work is, Heavenly Father, thou art greater than anything in this universe. I stand in praise of you. I stand in gratitude for all you've given. I pray in enormous forever gratitude that you've given me a piece of yourself to operate with life. Please give me my daily bread and provide my answers for me. In other words, you stay positive within your prayer, because negativity will not reach God. And you pray into the answer. You could say, I long to see this man when he is upright in goodness and love. I long for that day. I pray that you will help it happen. Find a way to pray from the answer, not from the problem. God does not solve our problems. God redeems us from our problems, and that's a very big difference. He lifts us
sure.
out of our problems
sure.
and directs us toward the life we need to be living.
That, you know, it's funny. I graduated with journalism, tell the story, beginning, middle, and end. And I'm trying to figure out what brought this on, what triggered this out of the blue after, you know, 38, 39, 40 years. I don't know. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you may not find the answer from delving into the problem. That's what I'm also saying to you, that God in you has no answers for the problem. None. That God in you has answers for how you live the life you want.
Got it.
A big
okay.
We
well,
all
I won't know where I want to be. You know, there.
Okay.
I'm going to let you go because I know there's other people
I've
waiting.
I've got to sign off.
And
you know, we've got 30 people on the line and an hour to do it in. So this line is really, really not suitable for in-depth counseling. And I know that you really need it, but I don't exactly know where to send you because a lot of people will delve into the negativity with you, and I would not do that. I do not do that because that's not where the answer is. If it occurs to me who you can call, I will let you know. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
You're very welcome. Okay. Let's see who's next.
Oh, hi, right. Glenda.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. I just wanted to ask a prayer for my sister, Virginia, if possible. She's just got a lot on her plate. She had a broken leg 2 months ago, and she's just been told that her beloved dog, Rocky, has terminal cancer, and her other dog, Bailey, is getting near to the end. And she has to move in 2 months, and all of this is just a lot on her plate right now, and I just ask in her name that prayers be sent to her to help her just cope on every level because she's still, you know, not walking properly from the leg break, and she runs an animal rescue place, and the rescue place is called Rocky's Refuge, and
aww.
these two dogs are her family, and you understand that. And she just,
of course,
you know, it's like
do.
Losing two members of her family, both at the same time. And I just spoke to her this afternoon, and she was just in tears, feeling like, you know, life is just all coming in on her right now. So I just ask for prayers for her support. And she knows she'll get through this time, but it's just rough. And I just want to give prayers for her today, please, Glenda. Thank you so much. I know
you're
it will
very
help.
Welcome. It will.
Thank
oh,
you.
We have prayers for her, for sure. And, you know, my comment is that sometimes sadness is just part of life. And
yes.
Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Exactly.
I have never been through grief that I didn't have comfort. That I can get through it, that it's part of life, and that I have more courage in living for myself. So we need to go through all of the emotions of life because there are lessons there at every step of the way, and it creates a complete person in who we are. You know, and we can also look at even the goodness in the way things happen. There's this perspective that both dogs are going to be going about the same time. But there's the opposite perspective that they may be leaving together and neither one of them will have to suffer in loneliness for the loss of the other. So
well,
we find...
That's exactly what she's going to do. She's going to have them both put down to get, you know, together so they
yes.
can leave together. She's just decided that this weekend, and I think that's a very good idea. Thank you for
well, see,
thank you for confirming that.
A positive change of orientation that she's having, instead of looking at this as poor me, it's like, how can I keep others from suffering? And this is what we learn from our own suffering. We learn ways we can keep others from suffering. And we apply that to our various situations. So that's good. Reinforce that and confirm that for her. So neither one of these dogs will be in pain and sorrow for losing the other.
Exactly. Thank you, Glenda, very much.
Dog heaven together. Okay, my dear.
Yes.
Well, we're going to take
our
next caller. Blessings to you, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Glenda, very much.
Okay. And let's see, who is our next question from? Well, it's from Aria. Hello, Aria.
Hi, Glenda. Nice to hear you. I have a lady that's coming to rent for 3 months with us, and she informed us that she has pancreatic cancer. So her name is Christine, and her husband is Duncan, and they're going to be here. They're going to start, they're going to arrive tomorrow. So I just want prayers for the highest, and I'm right next door. So, you know, it's just like I already feel her, you know, her panic, because that's got to be a hard one.
Of course.
What she's going through,
of
you know.
Course. And stress is, well, I'm not going to use the word. It's commonly been used, so I'll repeat it. That's coming from others. Many have said stress is the killer. It's probably the number one killer in the world.
Right.
And sometimes we have to just move away from the stress point and find a different way of forming a positive perspective so that we can transcend the stress. And it is definitely the greatest plague in the world today. Mm-hmm. It's a far bigger plague than COVID. And
right.
A lot of people have died from stress, but been counted in the number of COVID deaths.
Makes sense.
Crazy. Really crazy. But stress is a terrible taskmaster, and it can cause lingering illness, lingering problems, and bring about some major forms of discouragement, because we don't want to live with it. We were not created as beings to inhale stress and live our life through stress management. We were not. That's not how we were created. I'll tell you one powerful, powerful being who does not live in stress, and that is God our Father, has no stress. And yet he created the sun, moon, stars, planet, and humanity. And it's all in stress, but he's not.
Right.
Because he allows the evolution that is necessary to occur and then bring forth flowers in the following season, which it always does.
Wow, that's true. And I could use that advice. You know, I know I have stress too. It's obvious. But I am more learning to relax and breathe deep and all that stuff and just let it go. You know, whatever it is. I do have a request for my lungs, for my breathing and sleep. And I also ask for harmony in all my relations. I want to bless everyone on the call with the highest love, whatever they need from Yeshua, and just blessings to our community.
Thank you.
And
so
you,
much.
Of course,
that's,
honey.
That's, okay. And, you know, you brought up one thing that I think is important to say right now when you mentioned just forgiving. All right, let me tell everybody what the etymology of the word forgiving means in its root sources. It means giving up. Giving up.
Right.
And that doesn't mean giving up in defeat. It means stop trying to win.
Mm-hmm.
When you can't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Stop trying to win when it's not your battle. Stop trying to win when something has been inflicted on you and you just have to have victory because you hate that infliction. Give it up.
Right.
That is what forgiveness is.
Mm.
You know, I'll give you just a common example that so many people have. a failed purpose, a goal they had. They got a certain degree in college. They started out with, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and thinking, I'm going to go to the top of the mountain on this. And it didn't happen. And they had to go on to something that worked. Mm-hmm. But for all these years, 20, 30, 40 years, they're still grieving over a goal that didn't work.
Right.
A goal that didn't work. Give it up.
Mm-hmm.
Give
mm-hmm.
it up.
Mm-hmm.
You can't change the past.
Right.
You can't. And the future isn't here right now. What you've got is your present. Your present state of being. And, you know, we see love relationships which ended either through discord, incompatibility, or death, the passing of one partner or another, or mm-hmm. a sequence of situations. And it's come up in counseling for me. Well, but, you know, I just can't forgive. I just want to understand that what happened, why did it have to happen that way? I want to understand why he or she just couldn't be faithful. Why? I want to get it. I want to understand. And my answer to them is the same answer Yeshua has given many. It's not for you to understand. That
right.
is their life, not yours.
Exactly.
You will never understand. What you can do is give it up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I
and
agree.
When he said
that, I agree.
And what when he says it in that those words, I really know what forgiveness is. That's what it is for giving up.
Exactly. I remember that, for giving ahead of time,
giving
it up. Yeah.
For giving it up.
Right.
You're
it's
not
going to
understand anything from your past. There
yeah.
are many, many mysteries your parents held because, not because they wanted to hurt you, because they wanted to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
They may have had challenges, financial, emotional upsets they didn't want to bring on you. You were their precious baby. And they kept a lot from you. And you wonder, well, why did things go this way and that way? You know, I'm just really unhappy about it. Give it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your business.
Exactly.
It's theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And they've gone on to where they can deal with it and work it out. Let them have this so they can work it out without having to work it out through you. You know,
right.
a lot of people don't want to work their problems out through you or me. Or anybody, the you I'm saying right now is the collective you, okay,
mm-hmm.
the you that we all are.
Mm-hmm.
People don't want to work out their problems through you. They need to work out their problems through themselves and through the events and particulars and people that are actually part of the problem. They don't want to work it out through a third person, a fourth person who's in the bleachers watching the show.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. Exactly.
So
good advice.
This is the universal solvent that will
mm-hmm.
handle many, many things in your life because we all have energy tied
mm-hmm.
up with a string and a lock on it for
mm-hmm.
things we want to fix that we will never fix.
Wow. That's it. I'm writing that down. String with a lock on it.
That's right.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, thank you for that. And
never...
Yeah. And just my dog, Jamie. He's doing better. Just my little doggy.
Oh, good. All
yeah.
right. Good.
Thank you.
Jamie.
I love right. you.
Bye-bye.
Blessings.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Now, our next question is going to Eva. Hello, Eva.
Hi there. Well, I want to thank everybody that has given me blessings. Things are getting better, and not always as fast as I would like. Like you said at the beginning, sometimes it gets frustrated. But they tell me I should move at least every hour, which I'm not always doing everything that I should be doing. But I am moving. I am moving better, and things are looking up a little bit better. So thanks for everything. I appreciate that. And, of course, we'll appreciate any continued blessings to continue the process. And hopefully that after a while I'll be able to do things that I really would enjoy and have the ambition and the strength and the energy to do it. So that's my prayer, my blessing, my wish, and well, maybe I shouldn't just call it a wish, whatever. Anyway, thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye, Eva. And God bless you always.
Okay. Thank you.
And
thank you.
Question is from Susan. Hello, Susan.
Hi, everybody. I want to thank you and Nancy for the quercetin and the zinc. My God, I notice a better memory. I notice the wonderful effects of taking it. And blessings to you and Nancy, for that. And I just want to thank everybody, certainly people who say blessings to the whole community, ditto, ditto, ditto. And another thing is I can certainly relate to going through a period where strange things were happening. I wrote to you about them and happened, for 9 years. It happened before it happened after my husband died, but it lasted a long time. And I want to say a few weeks ago, I would always ask, for the understanding of what this is, what it was. And it was, I would always get back, no, you're not going to get that. You're just not going to get that information. And then, I guess I must have given it up. And then, recently, I was told, I was given the understanding. And it blew my mind. Basically, I was told that in many areas, I have a weak will, and I do a lot of non-physical spiritual work, lots of it. And they basically, my angels and guides were carrying me because I was just expecting, I could just do this, and lots of times I wouldn't remember to protect myself doing it. And why did I need to? They were always protecting me. And I, what came back was that this was a very powerful thing, and as frightening, and it was frightening for me, as it was meant for me to build, my will, which was weak in many ways. And it kept coming back. You said, if two wolves are at a door and one you don't feed and the other you feed, well, the one that you feed is going to keep coming back. And you said that many years ago. And I just had to ride most of it out till my will was so connected to God that I wasn't feeding it. And that was the whole purpose of the experience. Because most of my work is non-physical, I need to have a strong will. I said, that's only very recent, within the last weeks, that I was given the understanding. Now, do I still feel, am I still connected to this person? Do I feel strange sensations? And they are physical. Somebody's sitting next to me with, like, hi, what just happened to you? But I ignore it, and it doesn't happen often, and I'm not as taken over. I was taken over. When I say taken over, I mean I was completely, this person's will was far stronger than mine. And I was taken over, and I'm not anymore. And I think the whole experience was to teach me to strengthen that weakness in me, that weakness in my will, so that I can continue doing the work that I need to do.
Very well said.
Very interesting. Yeah, I wanted to say, oh, my goodness. I don't know if it makes a difference to the person you were talking to, but, man, I went through the mill. So, I mean, it was different. It was not something that I saw externally. It was all internal. But it was. I was taken over. So I get it.
I believe you. It does happen from time to time with many people, not everyone, but with many people, more than they would confess. And, often we get behind what started off drug addiction or alcoholism, and we find that it was that kind of possession, and we gave into it. We didn't have the strength to, or the knowledge to know how to deal with it. Let's put it that way. So thank you
I
for that.
I think it's a man of strength. Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. It's important that other people hear it.
Thank you.
Because anyone suffering from this, you're not the only one. Really, you're not. And,
oh, no. I'm sure not. And it was, it's been a strengthening experience at the end of the day.
Well, I'm sure.
That's what I'll say.
I'm sure. You came out walking straight, girl.
Thanks.
Okay. Well,
thank you.
Susan, and blessings to you, and we'll be sending blessings to you. We're going to take our next caller, which is Christopher.
Hello, Christopher. Hi, everybody. Hi, Glenda. Don't worry. I only have one very short blessing request to ask. Hi,
well, that's a miracle. God has been busy with you.
Thanks, Glenda. So good to hear your voice. Everybody, so grateful for you all. I called in because I have a very close friend who I love very much, who's been going through a very hard time. Her name is Cheryl, and she's just one of the most sparkling, bright people. But her partner, Mark Hogan, her name is Cheryl MacArthur, and his name is Mark Hogan. Her partner of about 10 years was diagnosed with leukemia about a year and a half to 2 years ago. And he's just been going through a terrible time, so many rounds. And then they moved, they consolidated houses, and that was a big stress on her. So she had a stroke, a major one. And she's just feeling really overwhelmed, and I don't think she knows how to ask for help sometimes. And so I just ask a blessing for his health and for her well-being as well.
Good. Okay, we got it. We got it written down.
Thanks.
And we're going to remember them with love and faith and optimism for the very best result. And we do need to move on because we now have Nancy. Hello, Nancy. You're on.
Hello, Glenda. Hello, everybody. Glenda, I would like to ask for a blessing for a friend of mine. Her name is Kathy, and she had to have an ankle replaced. Her right ankle now has a mechanical device, and it was done this past Friday. So I would like to ask a blessing for her perfect healing, and that the mechanical device and the tissues and systems of her body will work together in harmony so that she can move with comfort and grace after
great.
Her healing
I
is complete.
That. I
thank
know
you.
That
and I have one more thing I wanted to tell you. I have some problems with redness in my face. I'm not sure. It may be allergies. A doctor said it was rosacea. I don't know. But anyway, I stumbled onto something that works to clear it, and it is your coconut oil, like an eighth of a teaspoon and a couple of drops of wild Arabian rose essential oil. And I just mix it up in the palm of my hand, and I use it as a moisturizer on my face at night. And it
that
does.
Is wonderful.
Yes, and it's such a pleasant fragrance. It's delightful to put it on, but it actually works. And that's all. I want to say goodbye now because I know other people are waiting, but I thought it would be fun for you to hear that.
It is, and I'm going to do it. I mean, really, just 1 minute of back up on what you said. The essential oil that we offer is steam distilled essential oil, which means it's been turned into the molecular size of essential oil. And it was actually created originally by doctors to use with premature babies, and critically ill patients in a hospital who could not absorb fats into the body, not through their skin or through the digestive tract, because they can absorb the fats that are at that molecular size. And since then, there have just been all kinds of cures that have come about by people using that, because a lot of the systems of our body really need fat. You know, I know right now fat is kind of a bad word that's going around on the internet, like how can you get rid of it? And so we get this toxic orientation, but we should throw that out, because actually fat is one of our essential body systems. And that's why essential oils can be so beneficial to us. But coconut oil is nourishing as well as being beneficial. And when it's fractionated, when it's distilled like this, it can do marvels. So I'm actually going to try it with myrrh, because myrrh is one of the most ancient, cosmetic treatments for the face, going all the way back to Cleopatra. That was her favorite, was myrrh.
Wow.
And I'm thinking just a few drops of myrrh in coconut oil may be the magic I want. So I'll just throw that out as a possibility. And, I'm really, really grateful that information I gave about zinc and quercetin has helped other people. It's really a powerful combination and essential. And all of you, zinc is powerful against flu and viruses of any kind, but the fact is our cells cannot absorb it. So this is what I've been taking zinc for a long time, and I thought, well, they say to take it, I'll keep taking it, but I don't see anything from it. Don't see any good. Well, I read a report from a doctor, an MD, who is a specialist in natural remedies. And he said, you have to take quercetin with zinc, because without quercetin, the zinc won't be absorbed into the cells in your body. And so I tried it, and within a day, the problems I had were gone. You know, I was starting to come down with the flu, it was gone. And I've been using it every day since. I don't think it really matters what company you go with, because it's a common product that you can see everywhere. But I personally like it in a capsule, because it's easier to swallow. And I happen to get some zinc tablets, and I don't like the tablets, not because they don't work, but because they're just hard to swallow. So,
yeah.
And all things, just make it easy on yourself, okay?
And could you do one thing for me? Spell quercetin.
I think this is correct. I'm away from my information. Quercitin. Quercetin.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And,
great.
It's real important, because it'll make it work. Okay, my dear, we are on to our last caller now, which is Rick. Hello, Rick. Let's get you open, your line open. Okay.
Hi. Three weeks in a row here after being silent for a year.
Yeah.
I really, really feel for the woman that was in pain with all of the unorthodox presences she felt, and your advice was wonderful, spot on. I just wanted to say two simple things. Hopefully she's still on the line, is that, you know, when you break it down, this is just energy at the end of the day. And as you said, energy can't hurt you. But for eons, people have used sage to smudge and cleanse the air out of anything that is negative. And it can be someone, upset or just anything. And then you go counterclockwise in the room or the area where it is. You just burn it, open up the window for a while, and then as a encore, after you've given it time to permeate the area, you just take some wheatgrass. It smells sweet. It's beautiful. And it further cleanses and refines the area. So it really does work. I've had some dense energy in places, and I use that, and it dissipates it.
Yeah, I have done that too. And when we're setting up a seminar, the night before, when everybody else is gone, I will stay with my sage, and I will use the sage to clear the room, because hotel rooms have been used for lots of different things.
Sure.
They might have been used for a business conference, or they might have been used for a political gathering. There might have been arguments in the room, and, you know, hopefully nobody was hurt by anything, but still, it's just energy. And I like to create the most pure and perfect energy that people can enter into when they come to join the seminar the next day. And it works. It does.
Yeah, the last thing I want to say is invite the light in. I've had recent experience where someone was in physical pain, and they were in a bathtub just trying to dissipate the pain, and they invited the light in, and a crystal just was like in midair suspended, and then a rainbow around it appeared. And just, you know, they may not happen right away. You never know, but just invite the light in when you feel the darkness, because the help has to come from the person petitioning it before it will interfere, because we have a free will. This is another example of God's free will, the great gift he gave to us. So hopefully those two things will help, and wishing you the best.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's all really good. Thank you, Rick. I appreciate that. And we all want to hold our life and the life of others in the light, because that's where darkness actually has no power. Darkness has no, it's just the absence of light. And so you put light into it, and darkness is all of a sudden gone. And, you know, any child can demonstrate that by walking into a dark room and turning on the overhead light. But we can do the same thing with psychic darkness and psychic light, spiritual darkness and spiritual light. It works the same. Darkness.
And if I could just ask for a blessing, you know, I've really been having a hard time being compassionate with the shenanigans of using food as a weapon in the war. So I would just ask for a blessing for all those people that feel compassion, to just, you know, feeling helpless, to do what they can every day to just bring light into the people around them, simple little tasks, and to ask for, you know, the grace to be able to let go of things that we can't control.
Absolutely. Can you give me an example of what you're talking about?
I just, you know, Russia's now going to supposedly blockade the exportation of grain that they agreed to
the
UN.
You
know, the Somalia is at risk, and Ethiopia is at war again, and the price increases. It could affect literally a number I don't even want to give power to of people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so you were talking on the big scale.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay,
all right.
Thanks.
Sometimes I like to clarify these things, because that's where we make connection. When we're
now,
really
words
clear.
Are powerful, and they need to be definitive. So
absolutely.
Another lesson I got to keep learning. So thanks. Okay.
For all of us.
Peace.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. All right, everybody. We are ready to start our blessing. And for those who are new, we just want you to find a comfortable place in your chair, your bed, your lounge, whatever that might happen to be for you. And just take a cleansing deep breath and let it out. Just, again, the sense of letting it go. Letting go of all the stress you might have brought into this call, all the questions and the help you might have been requested. Take a deep breath, let it out. Let it go so that it can be in the hands of God. If you could fix it, you wouldn't be asking for help. All right? So let it go. Let it go. That is forgiveness. Forgiveness is not saying, oh, you poor soul, you know, I know you didn't mean to do it. I know you would have done better if you could, but, you know, I'll forgive you. My friends, that is judgment followed by self-empowerment. That is not forgiveness. That's not forgiveness. If you have to judge someone, you know, I know so many people who come to me and say, well, you know, if he would just ask forgiveness, I'd give it. And I just tell them, you know, God is forgiving you of a ton of things that you never asked for, and you didn't even know you did wrong, because he let it go. Now, it's not for you to own what somebody else did for you. It's for you to let it go. Let it go. And we do that initially with our breath, and then we're going to sit there and we're going to relax our limbs, our arms, our legs. Shake them out. Stick those legs out and shake them. Stick those arms out and shake it. Okay? Turn your head right and left gently and stretch it back and up. Okay? Rub your face, your forehead, upward into your scalp. That actually feels good. And just rub your fingers across your scalp to open the top of your head. And it's going to feel awfully good, and it's really important because you're going to be receiving energy through the top of your head. Take your socks off and your shoes off. Put your feet on the floor, on the ground, wherever you are, because your feet, the soles of your feet, are two powerful chakras, and they're going to draw energy up from the earth. So you're going to be getting energy up from the earth, and you're going to be I had to do that to keep down the background noise. So you're going to be drawing energy up from the earth. You're going to be drawing energy down from the heavenly realms. And don't cross your arms or legs, because these energies will run in parallel form and you don't want them to cross over. You're going to be flowing energy, and you're just going to let it flow. You're not going to manage it or direct it. You're going to release yourself into it. One of the ways that we get ourselves ready for this is with the four square breath. And I'll teach you that quickly just for the newcomers. Most of you have this mastered already. It's very simple. It's important to count your breath because it gives you mastery over your breath. But if I counted for you, I might either be too slow or too fast. So we're just going to say, to your count of four, whatever it is, you will count to four to exhale your breath into life, to give it into life, into whoever, whatever needs your breath. Then to the count of four, you're going to let it be, have its freedom to be received by whatever, whoever needs it. Then to the count of four, you're going to bring back into your body a new breath of life. To the count, the same count of four, that is your count, you bring it in. And then you're going to give yourself time to the count of four to receive that breath, carry it to every part of your body, and get ready to exhale again to the count of four. So these nice little pauses give you time to give and receive and keep you from being either rushed or forced or out of sync with your own breath. So you get to choose your count of four. That works for you. But it gives you mastery over your breath, which is extremely important, because your breath is the breath of life. Your breath is the power of your words. Your breath is the power of your connection with life and your connection with your Heavenly Father. So having this breath in a state of mastery, of giving, of receiving, is very important for your part of the blessing. Now for us, the blessing givers, we simply convey the blessing. It does not come from us. It comes from the Holy Spirit, from Yeshua, and our Heavenly Father. They send the energy that you will receive. But we're kind of like the satellite on the roof. We help those energy frequencies come to you that belong to you. That's the only way you could receive your special programs on your TV. You've got it programmed so that you receive certain frequencies that belong to you, that you subscribe to or you're interested in. Now, in order to help those come to you, you will be praying your prayer as we conduct those energies. So, here we are right now. I'm going to start my prayer to Yeshua. Then I will ask the blessing givers to join me in conveying the blessing. You will be praying your prayer for whatever is important and necessary for you. As much as you can, pray from the positive. Pray for understanding. Pray for resolution, finality, enlightenment, and caring. So, just continue relaxing, and we're going to do the four square breath now. Let us breathe out to the count of four. Now let it be received by life to the count of four. Let it be returned to you, a new breath, a fresh breath of air, to the count of four. Receive this new breath to the count of four. And start all over again. And I will begin my prayer to Yeshua. Son of God, brother of humanity, all of us, the one who walks beside us, who cares for us, and shows us how we can be the greater being of who we are. The greater being that can rise above any and all conflicts, pain, doubts, and insecurities. We ask for your guidance. We ask for your understanding, for your enlightenment. Surrender to your power that we may be filled with your grace and your power as we address our issues of life. We thank the Holy Spirit for always guiding us in all of our ways, for loving us tenderly, mercifully, knowing that all we need is understanding and love. For our Heavenly Father, who created us in perfection and forgives instantly all imperfections that come about in our being. We kneel before you with gratitude forever and ever that you gave us immortality, life greater than any trouble this world can present us. We ask that you be with the homeless, the hungry, the people in conflict, that you show them all they can be in rising above these things. But we also ask that you would be in those who can remedy these situations, who can bring peace to the world, food to the hungry, healing to the sick. We ask that you would compel grace and mercy in giving solutions to people who so need the help of each other. In the spirit of this love and in your holy name. We ask for all these things. Amen. Now, blessing givers, we ask that you would join us. Stand with me as we convey the blessings of the Holy Trinity. Let us begin.
your blessing has been given. Amen. Amen. And amen. Now, go and rest for at least 7 minutes. And in that 7 minutes, do not think about anything. Do not engage your mind at all. Your mind does not have the answers. Your mind cannot solve the problem. Be a blank slate upon which the words of God may appear. And you will receive continuing blessings through the week. Watch for them. Recognize them. And I look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye for now. Everyone, bye-bye.